the hackers and scammers are really good. They're really good. They're very sophisticated at what they do. And they're not, you know, we have this image of some guy sitting in his basement in his underwear, you know, just hacking. That's not what it is. This is organized crime. Organized crime has moved to hacking and scamming people, and they're really good.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this Off the Cuff. I'm your host, Chris Martinson of Peak Prosperity, and today we're going to be covering a really important topic. Now, if you saw our recent webinar, super well attended, great reviews, we were talking with David Rogers Webb and a bunch of experts about not just the great taking, but what you can do about it. Consensus, it's a real thing, and we're going to have to decide how not to be low-hanging fruit on the legal framework. Today, we're going to be extending that one step further. This is a really important topic. Because we live in a digital world, a digital age, the risks are many and they're multiplying. And how can you protect yourself in this digital world from having your stuff taken, but not in a great way, but maybe we'll call it the lesser way. Individually, you will be targeted. Your stuff will be taken if you lose your passwords, etc. So today we're talking with Glenn Meter of Privacy Academy. We've worked with Glenn before. We get great reviews off of his absolutely amazing webinars on how to protect yourself in this digital age. And of course, we are having a webinar for Peak Prosperity members, which Glenn will tell us about. But first, Glenn, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's an honor to be here.
So first, right out of the gate, when is that webinar? And then we'll go and talk about what's going to be in it.
So the webinar is Wednesday, June 26th at 7 p.m. Central.
And 7 p.m. Central.
Yeah, so we'll give you a link and then you can put it down below.
Okay. Yeah. Just click the link down below this. So, all right. Am I wrong, Glenn? Is it true that it just feels like the digital threats are just sort of like mounting all the time, and it's cat and mouse game where the cats have a lot of advantages in this story? And what's from your perspective, what does it take to make sure that you have good digital hygiene to at least make sure you're not the lowest hanging fruit on that particular story?
Well, yeah. I mean, what you're saying is absolutely true. You know, surveillance and our online world, our online life is a big vulnerability for us. And, you know, if you go back in history, we've never had to deal with this before, right? It's always been face to face and you go into a bank and all that stuff. But now everything's online. Every aspect of our lives is online. And there's so much data out there, and there's so many vulnerabilities out there that we each have, and we're not even necessarily aware of it, but the bad guys are aware of it. So if we're talking about hackers and scammers, they definitely understand this stuff a lot more than we do. But you know, hackers and scammers is only part of the risk. When I teach privacy and security, I talk about three main threats. So you've got hackers and scammers, you've got big tech, and you've got Big Brother. And so you've got to protect yourself against all three. And their sophistication is really growing exponentially. And our knowledge as individuals is not really growing. It's not really growing much at all. And really what we typically do is we trust them. We trust big tech. We trust Big Brother to protect us. But they're the ones that we need to protect ourselves against, actually. And and that's true with hackers and scammers too. I mean, they are becoming very sophisticated, and we've got to learn how to protect ourselves against them.
So, well, let's start. What is the easiest, lowest hanging fruit here to tighten up for people?
So what can they do? Well, one of the best things that you can do is, okay, so let me talk about this. So there's a difference between privacy and security. And I would say probably the most immediate threat is passwords. You have to get your passwords figured out. That is by far the most important thing. There are so many people that just use just weak passwords, or they reuse passwords, or they kind of reuse passwords. They have just like a different flavor of a password, or they use algorithms where they'll have their own little formula that changes with every site that they're on, but it's easy for hackers to figure out those algorithms. So I would say the first thing is to really get your passwords figured out. And there's a lot of different ways you can do passwords, but by far the most important way, or the best way, is a really good password manager. And I know a lot of people kind of repel at that. They repel at the idea of a password manager. But if you look at all the other alternatives, password manager is definitely the best option for keeping your passwords.
Yeah, I've had sort of mixed experiences with password managers myself. So have they gotten better over the years?
Well, yeah, so there definitely have been some weaknesses with password managers in the past. RoboForm, I used to use it about 20 years ago, but it had some weaknesses. LastPass has really had some vulnerabilities with it. But those ones were not done right. LastPass is a closed source operating system, or closed source program. So we can't see what's going on. We can't see whether it's a good program or not. We can't see if there's any back doors in it. We don't really know. We can't have the developer community looking at it to assess whether it's well written or anything like that. So what we need is an open source password manager. The one that I recommend is Bitwarden. Bitwarden is a very good password manager, very, very secure, very highly encrypted, and it's pretty easy to use once you get it set up. I mean, it is kind of a challenge to get set up. And I would say that's one of the obstacles to it. It's actually probably one of the most complicated things we talk about in our course. But it's one of the most important things that you can do. And once you get it set up properly, it makes your life so much easier. I mean, your life really does become easier, and you feel a lot more secure because every site that you go to has a different, very long, very complex password. And it's, that's one of the first things that you can do to really get secure.
Mm-hmm. So not Google passwords then.
Well,
because you mentioned three things, right?
Yeah.
Hacker, scammers, big tech, and big brother. Google, yeah, occupying both of those last two positions, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. No, exactly. I mean, so I recommend people don't use the built-in password managers in the browsers. So Safari, Google, Chrome, all of those, don't use the built-in password managers on the browser, because the browser, the password manager is kind of a byproduct. It's kind of a secondary thought, and it's just, and their primary goal there is convenience. They don't want to get in people's way of their enjoyment of using the browser. But Bitwarden, so what you want to do is you want to go to a third party password manager that all they do is password management, and Bitwarden's the way to go. And if I can go just a little bit more on that.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, we can look at what are the other alternatives. So you can say, okay, well, I'm going to remember my passwords. Well, if you can remember your passwords, they're not strong enough, or you're reusing them. Or you're going to have your browser remember them. Well, your browser password manager is not good enough. An algorithm that you have in your head is not good enough anymore. You can write it down, and writing it down can be good, but it's very clunky. And usually what happens is people get so fed up with, it's so complicated and it just interferes with my life so much, that they end up taking shortcuts. And so it really comes back to the password manager. The password manager is, and Bitwarden specifically, is the best way to really secure yourself. And then on top of that, we want to add two-factor authentication. And I know this sounds intimidating for people, because those two things, they can be a little bit of a something to get over. But we teach people every day that are non-techie people how to do this. And there are so many people that have gone through our course that just say, I feel so much better. I feel so much safer now. I didn't realize how good this could be and how much easier my life is online now. So I do encourage everyone to really take those steps to get private and secure, and the password manager is one of those steps.
Yeah, so you're going to be covering a lot of this on June 26th during the webinar. Fantastic. Well, thanks. I hear all the time now from people who've actually lost money to the category one scammers, hackers. They've gotten really sophisticated. And now we're hearing about things like they might call you with a deep fake that actually uses your daughter's voice. Yep. And she's in distress and she's at the police station and it just needs your credit card to get bail or whatever. They run these scams now that are highly sophisticated in the storyline and how they can get at you. It's how do people begin? First, paint the landscape. What are we up against here?
Yeah, well, this is what I was saying, where the hackers and scammers are really good. They're really good. They're very sophisticated at what they do. And they're not, you know, we have this image of some guy sitting in his basement in his underwear, you know, just hacking. That's not what it is. This is organized crime. Organized crime has moved to hacking and scamming people, and they're really good. And they have money behind them, and they have high-level programs that they work with. So I can tell you a couple stories of some hacks if you want.
Yes, please. What do you got?
So the hack that you were, or the scam that you were just talking about, is called the Hello Grandma scam. And there's a lot of different flavors of that. So it can be somebody calling up like an elderly man or woman and saying, "Hey, Grandma, I'm in jail. I've been thrown in jail. I need bail. Please don't tell my parents. It's all a mistake," all of this stuff, and panic in their voice, right? And then if you give in to that, then, and you say in 1500, then there's going to be like, no, that's not all that there is. There's more to it. And they'll get on and they'll say $10,000, and then they'll keep going as long as you're going to give them money. But the more dangerous one is where they say that your daughter or your granddaughter has been kidnapped or is in physical danger. And what they do is they try to get you scared. And as soon as you're scared, you can't think. You can't think right. When you're panicked, you can't think right. And so that's what they want to do. They want to get you in this state of agitation and they want to get you scared. And what's happening now with AI is what they used to do in the past is they used to have somebody just kind of faking the person's voice or just trusting that the grandparents wouldn't actually know the voice of their kids. But now with AI and deepfakes, they can exactly mimic the person's voice, their speaking patterns, all of this stuff. They can look on social media and get some data, things that they've done recently, all of that stuff, and they can pull that all together and make a very convincing, scary thing. So that's the Hello Grandma scam. But there's another one that's actually even more dangerous right now, and it's called the Butchered Pig scam. And the Butchered Pig scam is really taking people for everything that they own. And what happens is you meet somebody online, and that could be on a dating site, or somebody sends you a text message that isn't really to you, but it's a wrong number, but you answer it, and then there's a conversation that starts. But anyway, if they can get that conversation going, and then they can develop a relationship there, and this is what it means by pig butchering, is they're fattening up the pig before the slaughter. So what they're doing is they're investing time in the relationship, and they're investing time in developing the trust that they have with you. And once they do that, once they get your trust, then they can really scam you for a lot of money. So what they'll do is they will become your friend, or even you think you're in love with them, and then they're going to suggest a third-party app, like a crypto app, and just say, hey, do you do anything with crypto? And let me tell you the story of what's his name? Steve Belcher was a guy in Denver, Colorado, got taken for $1.6 million. And he was a VP of a software company. So he's quite a sophisticated guy. He met this lady online, and they were chatting back and forth. And she said, do you do anything with crypto? And he said, no, I have maybe 10,000, just sits there though. She says, oh, well, you might want to try this app, such and such app. I've made a killing on it. I'm traveling the world with it. I'm taking care of my mother, all of that stuff. And so he tries it, and he looks at the app. He's a software engineer and says, this is a really good app. So he sees that it's really done right. Then he puts 5,000 bucks into it just for a test. And then that within a week, that turns into $6,500. And so he's like, wow. And so then he pulls it out. He pulls it, actually pulls it into his bank. It's there. He's got $6,500. He says, wow, this is real. So then he starts putting money in. And all the time he's got this new relationship that he's got. And she's talking in his ear, just reinforcing it. She never asked him for money. She just told him about a third party app. And so then he puts in more money and more money and more money. Then he sees how much money he's making at this. Then he looks at his 401k and says, my 401k is not making anything. This thing's making a ton of money. He pulled all of his money out of this 401k, put it in this. And that was $1.6 million. And he just watched that ticker go. He said it was up to like 8 million bucks. He said, I've made it. Taking care of my kids, all of this stuff. Then he tries to take it out. And they say, well, you've got to pay like an extra $400,000 for taxes before you can take it out, or something like that. And then he realizes, oh my gosh, I have just been taken for $1.6 million, everything he owns in his, and this is a very common scam, actually. And, I talked to somebody who had this happen, and the biggest thing on him was the shame. I mean, the shame that he felt. And he said, this was somebody that lost $300,000. He says, I didn't have $300,000. I took out a mortgage on my house. I can't look my wife in the eye because of this. And so, yeah, they're very good at this.
The butchered pig. Well, that makes a lot of sense. You know, why it's called that, given what happened to poor Steve and other folks. So watching out for those. Yeah, I think it's time, you know, based on what you're saying, we all just have to be like extra vigilant at this point in time. I probably still get, we have really good spam filters probably 3 times a week. Something sneaks through. Fake DocuSigns. Hey, you know, here's this invoice that you're overdue on, like things that are supposed to be fairly catchy, but you know, they're not that good, 'cause I can just look at the email header and see that it's all wrong. You know, but eventually they're going to get even that right. And it's going to be harder and harder, and I won't quite know what to do, you know, and it's almost like we're going to have safe words with all our contractors, you know, or something. How do we get around, the phishing at this point in time?
Yeah, I mean, so phishing is when somebody sends you an email or a text and it pretends to be from somebody else. So let's say you get something, an email from Amazon saying, thank you for your order for the big screen TV for $1,600. If you have any problems, call this number. And so hackers and scammers work together a lot. And so if you call that number, then you're going to get on the phone with someone that says they're from Amazon, but they're really a scammer. And then they're going to really take you through a whole story of, you're in real trouble here. You've got to follow our instructions right away. Don't let us off the phone. We'll walk you through this. And so anyway, yeah, to be careful of phishing stuff, you have to you have to be very careful what you click on. Don't, so let's say you get an email from PayPal. Don't click on the link in the email to take you to the PayPal site. Go to PayPal or go to the browser, type in paypal.com and go there. One of the other things that they will do with phishing is they will take you to the site and they will have you log in. So they'll take you to the PayPal site, and it will be a fake PayPal site. So it will look like PayPal, and it will ask you for your username and password. And then if you put it in, then it will say, oh, well, the site's not working. Please come back in half an hour, something like that. But you've just given them the password, username and password. And the way to prevent that is to use the password manager, because the password manager will what you want to do is you want to get in the habit of not filling in the password and the username yourself. You want to have the password manager fill it in for you, but it won't fill it in if you're on a fake site. It's not going to recognize that as PayPal. So you can trust your password manager to recognize that for you and protect you in that way. So it's a combination of tools and relearning some habits on how to do this right.
All right. Now, increasingly, I'm caring more and more about, you said two things, security and privacy. We talked through a couple things on the security side, right? Getting your passwords under control, understanding phishing and what the scams are. I get it. But privacy, I mean, you know, you put the ad blocker in and like a day later it says we blocked 3,822, you know, intrusions, yeah. You know, or whatever. Yeah. So privacy is more and more of a concern. I just feel like I don't have any at this stage, right? We now, Glenn, I'm embarrassed to say, but maybe not, that when it comes to this little device right here, that we routinely, maybe I shouldn't say this publicly, but we routinely practice digital hygiene and go put them under sofas in the other room, because we know that that thing's tracking us now. And we know that because of the targeted ads that come in when you even just offhandedly mention something somewhere, and it yep. Next thing you know, you have the ads showing up. So we know these things are snooping on us. Let's talk privacy for a minute. What can we do?
Yeah. And again, a lot of times people think that it's okay, let me get a VPN and I'm private. There is actually a number of steps that have to be taken. But, you know, okay, let's talk about phones, first of all. So the first thing you want to look at is the operating system that you use. You want to have a de-Googled version of Android on your phone.
And like Calyx or?
The best one is Graphene. Graphene mm-hmm. OS is the best one. And that's something that you can download yourself and install. And we actually have a lesson on that. Or you can buy a phone that is pre-installed with it if you don't feel you're up to installing the operating system on it. But that is a really important step, because you're right, this is the number one surveillance device on us. It follows us mm-hmm. everywhere. It tracks us. It is amazing the amount of tracking that it is doing. So getting the de-Googled version of Android is very important. The next thing is the apps that are on it, because the apps are pretty much, I wouldn't say all, but the vast majority of apps are spyware. And it's pretty shocking the amount of data that these apps take from us. And we don't know who is taking this. We don't know where this is going. You know, it is going, and somebody is spying on us. And there are multiple people spying on us because of the apps on our phone. So, you know, we take you through, you know, how to get a de-Googled phone, how to clean off the apps, and be very careful with the apps that you put on there. And then also, then the third part of that is the cellular provider that you use. You want to have a good cellular provider that is more privacy oriented and security focused than just Verizon or AT&T. So those three elements there are a good step.
What if you don't live in an area where you can get one of these other cellular providers?
Yeah, so Well, okay. So the first thing we want to do is still take care of the operating system. You still want to take care of the apps. The there are different things that you can do with the providers. The provider that we recommend in the U.S. is Afani, E-F-A-N-I. And that's a really good privacy slash security provider. There is a, if you go, that's only for the U.S. though. And there's not really an equivalent for overseas. So there are some things that you can do where you maybe you don't use a SIM card overseas, if you're overseas. But I don't think that's a very practical solution. So I think there are some things that you're just going to have to bite the bullet on and deal with. You know, if you're over Europe and you need Vodafone, okay, well, you need Vodafone. But at least you've got the phone where it's not spying on you and listening to you, and the camera's not turning on.
Yeah, well, maybe I just need one more phone. I already carry, I have three in my possession for different reasons, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So we're getting to that stage of the story. But I am increasingly of a mind that privacy is really important, and that I really don't like being invaded. And part of that is because personal view, Google's motto used to be don't be evil. And then I think they dropped the word don't from that. Exactly. And now they just be evil. And I really, really don't trust them on a bunch of levels. And that was because, you know, I got YouTube strikes for talking about stuff that was scientific data that ran against whatever orthodoxy they wanted to promote from the pharma companies. It's, you know, I get that, but I really didn't trust them ever since, you know, then, and for other reasons. So
yeah,
what do we do if we don't want to feed the beast? Cause that's increasingly a concern of mine.
Yeah. And so this is a very interesting point. So we talked about the three threats. So we have the hackers and scammers, Big Tech and Big Brother, right? The interesting thing is they're all after our data. So if you look at hackers, they do these data breaches and they'll attack Target, they'll attack AT&T, they'll attack all these other places, but they're stealing the customer database of all those places. So when they attack Target, they're getting our data, not Target's data, they're getting our data. And so then they'll go sell it on the dark web, and then these hacking groups buy up all of the data and they want to merge it all together, and they want to have as big a profile on me and you as possible. So they'll take your data from Target and Sony and Marriott and all of these different places, merge it all together, and they'll have a bigger picture of you. And then the more information they have, the whole is worth more than the part. So they can learn about your patterns and your habits and your, you know, what do you do with passwords? Do you really know what you're doing? Do you not know what you're doing? All of that stuff. And then they're going to use that data against you. And then Google does the same thing. Big Tech does the same thing, where they're every Google product, Chrome, Google, Android, Gmail, all of these things are specifically Trojan horses. That's their primary purpose for existing, is a Trojan horse to steal our data. And then government, you know, government gets its data from Big Tech, but it's also NSA, it's also, they want to do the digital ID, the CBDC, all of this stuff to gather data about us and use it against us. So they're all using the same thing. So I look at what's coming down the road with digital IDs, social credit system, CBDCs, all of this stuff, and they're doing that for a purpose. And, you know, we need to opt out as much as we can opt out. We need to opt out, and we opt out by stop giving them our data. And I think that's a very, very important point that we just have to take the best steps that we can to stop letting all this data flow to them.
Yeah, I like this. So people ask all the time, what can I do? And one of the things is, well, just stop giving them your data, right? Yeah. Be like, oh my God, what would that be like? It'd be like, that'd be like my whole childhood, right? We just went outside without phones and it was fine. You know, most of us came home, right?
Yeah.
Every night. Just somehow we survived, you know, it was amazing.
Exactly. And that's, and I mean, as much as you can get away from technology, that's great. But technology is here to stay too. And it's just part of our lives. So we just have to learn how to do it the right way. We can't, I don't think we can let them get too far ahead of us. We've got to stay in the know, and we've got to move forward and take care of this stuff as much as we can, because the free market is coming up with solutions. It's coming up with privacy solutions that are actually pretty good. And so if we learn about these solutions as well as learning, why we need to protect ourselves, and then we need to learn how to use the tools, and then we need to change some of our habits too. And we can do it. We can come together, and that's really the good news about all this is it is possible to stop that flow of data, at least to a huge extent.
Well, and that is so important. As we covered in our recent webinar we just had on protecting your wealth from the great taking, SIPC says flat out, they cover losses up to 500,000 per account, unless, not for hacking, right? And so it's very clear that if you lose to, your portfolio, your bank account, or a credit card, in certain circumstances, even credit card use will not be covered, right? It's on you if you if somehow you fail to protect something appropriately or don't notify in time, et cetera. So with the level of sophistication, I think, part one is people have to be aware that this stuff is happening all the time. We do have to keep up with it. And I'm increasingly insisting that anybody I'm using that's on my financial side, if we don't have 2FA, two-factor authentication, I don't like it. I just don't like it. I feel better, that I have to, validate through my phone.
Yeah, and it's surprising to me. Banks have been some of the slowest people to adopt really high levels of security. And that's something that I've got some courses, I've got some classes on that now, but I'm actually in the process now of reshooting some videos about how to select the right bank, because there are some banks that don't offer two-factor authentication because it gets in the way of convenience for the customer, which is really shocking, but yeah, it is important to choose the right bank and to know what questions to ask them and all of that stuff too. So
Yeah, it's surprising how bad some of the bank architecture is. I was talking with somebody recently, a good friend of theirs is a consultant, works on these sorts of issues with banks, and his position was, if you knew, you would get your money out right away. Like he was like really hair on fire. And so I was able to pose a question up the chain and back, and I was like, how bad is it? And I was like, we're talking, and I'm using some really dated language for anybody who's younger, you won't know what I'm saying. These are going to be strange terms. Access databases and like Vista operating systems, okay? Really old stuff,
It is. It is pretty shocking. And so yeah, I think that's one of the keys to do that. So yeah. But
Well, so,
I think this is just so important to, we've talked about protecting yourself personally, but I think it is something that we need to do as good stewards of liberty itself, because all of these things that government is putting in place, and there is this tyranny of governments all around the world that are working together, and you've talked about this many times, these plans that they are building really have the foundation on surveillance. Everything is based on surveillance. This is why they want the digital ID. They want to centralize our data. This is why they want the CBDC, because it is, and it's not the only reason they want the CBDC, but it will give them every transaction that we do. They will know about it. There will not be a single way that we can hide a single transaction. If we give a homeless person on the street a dollar, if we go to a garage sale and buy something for you know, $5. They'll know every single thing that we do. And, you know, I think it is a reversal of, they should not have the right to spy on us like that. We are innocent until proven guilty. They can get a court order if they need to. If they are really suspicious of an individual, that's how it should be done. But that's not what's being done. What we really need to do is flip the switch, flip the paradigm where they're transparent. We are private. They are transparent. They're trying to say they want to keep their privacy on the government level, but then be transparent on us, which is totally the wrong way around it, because our rights come from God. And this is what I believe. Our rights come from God and not from the state. They don't have the authority to take away our rights and our liberty. And so I think I always say that's the number one thing that I want people to remember is our rights come from God, not from the state. And if we do that, we keep everything into perspective.
Absolutely. You know, rights are rights. Everything else that can be revoked, amended, or otherwise whittled away at, it's a privilege. And so we don't have a bill of privileges, you know, we have this bill of rights, and until that's chucked out the window and replaced, that is the law. So you either live by the laws or you don't, right? So if we want to be a lawless nation, we'll keep going down the direction they want to push us down. So I'm not a fan of it, but you know, all our prosperity, Glenn, comes from a few very foundational things. Comes from life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, right? Private property rights, freedom, and privacy. Privacy is a foundational part of having a prosperous society, right? And so if we want to have, you know, my life be a complete open book, well, then the government needs to be a complete open book. It can't be a 4-lane, 1-way highway. We see everything about you, Chris, and you can't see anything about us. Yeah. That's tyranny. That's collectivism. It's communism. No bueno. So, let's flip the paradigm. So, you know, we always get really great reviews back from people who've taken your webinar and then gone further to I know you do some consulting to help people get up the curve as well further. So it's really important. So let's think about this in terms of A, I don't want to lose my stuff. B, this is something I can do to begin to flip the paradigm. I think it's really important.
Yeah.
Really important.
Yeah. And we can be the example for others. We can be the example for other freedom fighters. We need to get private and then fight for privacy, or fight for privacy and freedom at the same time. But I think privacy, like you just said, I think it is fundamental to everything that we do. And I'll give you an example of that. After January 6th, I don't know if I've ever told this story, but we had a couple of friends come over to our house and they were really freaked out about what was going on in January 6th. And I don't know if everyone remembers, there was some real fear in the world, in the US at that point, because it really looked like, you know, our country is being stolen from us. And we got together and you know, we all took our phones and put them in a Faraday bag, and we did not want anyone listening to us at that point, because we just felt like things were really, really bad at that point. And and it was true. I mean, I think every day we learn more and more about the spying that goes on, and I think it's just so important to just stop that flow of data, I guess, is the main message.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Well, let's do that. Let's just stop that flow of data as much as possible. Do you think it, last question, I mean, does it help to use something like Signal or something encrypted? I mean, I use it because I want them to have to work for my data. I assume they already have backdoors and 256 encryption breaking somewhere or something, or, I mean, that's my assumption, but I think it takes more work. Is that a good assumption or a bad assumption?
Yeah, I mean, really, we don't know what the NSA has. Who knows what they really have? But I think Signal is a good program. It's been really maligned lately, and most people don't realize that it was maligned from all of those rumors that started with Signal started with the CEO of Telegram. And he started this snowball of rumors, and it really got out of hand. It was really amazing how the rumors took off. But what I think is kind of funny, it's kind of like instant karma. Telegram then just got a breach where someone scraped everybody's information off of Telegram. If you're in a Telegram group or whatever, all of that information was just taken. And so that's some karma, quick karma coming back to people. But, you know, if you're concerned about Signal, also try out Session. Session is a good messenger, and it is decentralized, whereas Signal has a central server. Signal is decentralized, and it is a really good, very secure messenger also.
Interesting. All right, I'll look into that one as well. So I got Bitwarden, Graphene OS, maybe Afani, but I don't think I have it in my area, and Session. So I'll look into all those. Those are great things. These are all things you'll be covering in the upcoming webinar, I trust.
Well, we're going to be covering some different things in the upcoming webinar. But like I said, there's a lot to know. And, you know, one of the things that I want to make clear with the Privacy Academy is, you know, one of the dangers of getting private is people get kind of excited about it, and then they just dive headfirst in, and they just start listening to all these YouTube videos and reading all these sites and everything. And then all of a sudden they just get overwhelmed, totally overwhelmed, because there is a lot to know. And then once you try to take that and actually act on it, it's like, what do I do here? What do I do here? I don't know what I'm doing. And so they throw up their hands and say, I'm not tech enough to do this. But what we do in the course is we take each thing. So you just mentioned, we talked about four things right now. Okay, Bitwarden is a password manager. We have some different videos on that, some different lessons. And what we do is we just say, okay, now do this. Don't think about anything else. Just do this, and then do this, and then do this. And don't look at any other videos or anything like that, because you're going to get overwhelmed. Just do this. And we also are doing now live trainings every week for this. And we try to do it in a way that is not overwhelming for people, and we try to do it for non-techie people to really get private and really, really kind of learn this stuff from the ground level up.
Well, excellent. Well, you know what? I'll be there. I'm taking all the courses, because I definitely need to tighten up my ship here. No question about it. Yeah. So, well, Glenn, it's thanks for your time today. Looking forward to that. Anybody who wants to attend that, that's a free webinar, right?
It is. Free.
So just click on through, find the link down below, and I guarantee you'll learn something. And by the way, it is time to begin doing something proactive to make sure our freedom and our liberty are maintained. So thanks for doing what you're doing. Do appreciate it.
Appreciate it.